There are nearly 20 million college students in the United States. 40% will stop going to church during college. 50% will never return. The Lutheran Church Missouri Synod is seeking to meet this challenge through LCMSU. Why? Because 100% of college students matter to God and to His church. College is tough. You need Jesus. We'll help. LCMSU. Check us out at lcms.org/lcmsu.
Luther did the same thing. He just went down to the tavern, heard some half-drunk men singing a song, thought that would make a good hymn, went back and took these bar tunes and put them in the church.
My response is, where are they getting this information from? Because it's completely wrong.
We're not going to put a pall on somebody who hasn't been baptized, or someone who had been baptized and rejected it.
That which was begun in my baptism is fed and nourished at the Lord's table. And without that, there's not much there in me to sustain through trouble or trial or handle what life brings.
Former evangelicals on track to be Lutheran pastors by attending Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Love, issues, etc.
I gotta say that I was surprised. I don't know why I was, but I was surprised, along with just about everyone else who heard about the tragic suicide death of Robin Williams, a man who's had a long comedic career, a decent movie career, seemed like so many celebrities to have it all, to have wealth and fame, a loving family, a career that he could look back on and say, wow. Who ever thought that a stand-up comedian could achieve such things? And then dead by his own hand, without any real explanation, at least at this point. We're going to talk about suicide here for the first half hour of the second hour of Issues Etc. Live this Tuesday afternoon, August the 12th. Pastor Todd Peppercorn will be our guest. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. A little bit later, Jennifer Law will join us. We'll talk about the surrogacy debate in the Republican Party. Wesley Smith will be with us after that to talk about what it's really like to die by dehydration. He says everyone's willing to admit that it's a terrible way to die unless the person who's dying of it is someone like Terry Schindler Schiavo. We'll get his thoughts a little bit later. Our call-in number 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE. Our email address right here in the studio, talkback@issuesetc.org, and our Twitter address @issuesetc. Pastor Todd Peppercorn is a regular guest. He's pastor of Holy Cross Lutheran Church in Rockland, California, and he's author of the book, I Trust When Dark My Road, A Lutheran View of Depression. Todd, welcome back.
Hey, thank you. It's good to be here.
This is probably the primary initial reaction, without much time to think about it, that most people had in hearing the news about Robin Williams' suicide, and that is, you know, here is a guy, like so many celebrities, who seems to have it all. Brilliant career, wealth, fame, more movies coming out in the future, apparently bright future, even into his 60s, a loving family. How does something like this happen?
Well, the short answer, of course, is Satan, that the devil is a liar and a murderer, and this is what he does, is wreak havoc. Now, that's kind of broadly speaking true. Now, I suppose the question is, how does somebody that to all outside seems happy, he's got money, he's got fame, he's got people, he's got everything that for many people they would look at and say, this is everything I'd ever want, and how could he do this? Well, I think there's a spiritual answer to that, or a theological answer, and then there's a little bit more of a medical answer. Depression, presuming that this is what we're talking about, and since I'm not Robin Williams, or I cannot, in fact, answer that, but assuming that we're talking about severe depression, it's medical. This is a biochemical and added into all kinds of other situations and circumstances, and that we probably will never know all of that came about. And I guess that when you're talking about suicide, most people, or many people at least, have in their mind that someone that commits suicide has gone through some sort of rational, careful thought process, weighed all of the options, and has done all of this kind of research or something, and then decided to commit suicide. And that's absolutely not the case. This is someone in all likelihood who's in the middle of a raging tornado and is trying to find a way out. And we can look at it and say, well, that's not the way out. Well, it's very easy for us to see when you're in the midst of it. That is a very different picture. So I think that's probably the first thing we have to understand, is that we can't get into his shoes, into his life, and make sense of it. It's not something that is going to make sense.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Well, yeah, it does. And I think one of the things I wanted to ask you about is that when we talk about suicide in general, it's almost impossible to do it we'd have to consider it on a case-by-case basis. But I take it from what you've said there that suicide, especially as it is related to mental illness, which it so often is,
right,
is far more complex than simply someone saying, I don't feel like living anymore.
Right. Well, and in my experience, Pastor, many people look at suicide as kind of the, if you will pardon the expression, the theological giving letter to God, that this is always the ultimate rejection of God and His mercy. I mean, I don't know how many people have spoken on the variation of suicide is basically the unforgivable sin, that it's impossible to go to heaven if you commit that. I've certainly heard that many, many, many times. But that, I don't buy it. I don't buy it theologically, and I don't buy it pastorally. When we're talking about suicide, we're talking about deep, deep darkness here, and we're talking about forces that we do not understand, and things that are beyond most people's hearing, even. So it's difficult to just sort of sin and say, oh, well, this person, they had a choice and they made the choice, and that's really sad and it's tragic, but that was their choice. I just don't buy that as an answer. Really don't.
Well, let's pursue that a little bit, Todd, because that's kind of the first, that's the first way that people think about this. They think, well, you mentioned it before, they kind of think that it's a rational choice, or that it's as close as one can come to a rational choice in a situation like this. But they also think of it fundamentally as a choice. Why do you reject that answer?
Well, certainly sometimes it may be a choice. And I guess I think I would even back up a little bit more and say, if sort of narrow this down to thinking these are all ones and zeros. These are yes and no choices that we have in our lives. And you have a choice to live and you have a choice to die. What that does really deny original sin and the bondage of the will. That because of sin, I am going to choose sinful things. That is part and parcel of my life as a fallen child of God. But that being said, that doesn't mean it's not forgivable. That means that it's a sin. I think we, as Lutherans even, we sometimes accidentally become Arminians when it comes to stuff like this. But by that I mean, we sort of assume all of this choice language, and we assume that I have a choice not to sin. I can, if I try really, really hard, no, I mean really hard, then I'm not going to sin. Is it possible that someone can be so broken and wounded and full of sin that they are stuck and that there is no way out? I'd say, yeah. In fact, I would say that that's probably more common than not. The question is, where does God's grace fit in times of that darkness? That's the question for us as Lutherans.
We'll take a break. When we come back, we'll continue our conversation with Pastor Todd Peppercorn, author of the book, I Trust When Dark My Road, A Lutheran View of Depression. We're talking about suicide on this Tuesday afternoon. Pastor Peppercorn is pastor of Holy Cross Lutheran Church in Rockland, California. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc.
Sounds of rich liturgy and historic Christian worship. What a way to spend a Sunday morning. At Trinity Lutheran Church in Millstadt, Illinois, you'll find authentic Christianity as you hear the preaching of Christ crucified for the forgiveness of your sins. Come, join us Sunday mornings at 9 and Monday evenings at 7:30, and find out more about Trinity Lutheran Church, Millstadt, Illinois, at trinitymillstadt.org.
Steadfast Lutherans. People who believe the law condemns everyone and should be preached to the fullest. People who believe the gospel is for everyone and should be preached to its sweetest. Traditional Lutheran doctrine and practice deliver every Sunday this law and gospel, that Christ was crucified for us sinners. To all who received him, who believed in his name, the Gospel of John says, he gave the right to become children of God. To see how Steadfast Lutherans preserves this good news for everyone, visit steadfastlutherans.org.
Where doctrine is life. You're listening to Issues Etc.
We Lutherans were never aided by following along with some other tradition's theological priorities and catchphrases.
Issues Etc. regular guest, Pastor Heath Curtis, Coordinator for Stewardship for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod on a Lutheran approach to stewardship.
Other folks are not approaching it from our good, solid Lutheran understanding of law and gospel and vocation. There's a place to talk about this in Christianity, and we have a way of talking about stewardship as Lutherans without ever using the word stewardship, if you like. I'm going to talk to you today about your vocation in your home, in your church, in your society, and how each one of these makes a claim on you, on your presence, on your support, on your prayers. That's how we should talk about this as Lutherans.
You'll find several stewardship resources at lcms.org/stewardship, lcms.org/stewardship. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Pastor Todd Peppercorn is our guest as we talk about suicide on this Tuesday afternoon. Todd, you've written about it in your book, I Trust When Dark My Road, not only depression. Have you yourself had thoughts of considered suicide?
I have. I would say that is extremely common for people who suffer from depression. And there's one Good Friday about 8 years ago when I was ready to commit suicide and was, in fact, planning it. So this is something that is very personal to me. This is not just a kind of a theoretical thing. Go ahead.
Well, I don't want to delve too much, and I cannot recall off the top of my head how much detail you go into, but it intrigues me when you say, I was planning it. What was going through your head? I mean, I don't know if it's even appropriate to ask, what were you thinking at the time?
Well, I can tell you, and I have and I've included this in the book. This is something I've talked about many times. I was on partial disability at the time, and had gotten a phone call from my insurance provider. It's never a good sign when your insurance provider calls you. I got a call from my insurance provider telling me that they had determined I was all better. And that they were taking me off disability effective 2 weeks prior, and that they had just neglected to tell me. And this kind of immediately moved from being partially kind of sort of dealing with my depression to there's nothing I can do. This is impossible. My family would be better if I were dead. And so I pretty quickly went into that, okay, how am I going to do this? So I found myself in the very unusual circumstance of preaching on our Lord's death, salvation of the world, while planning my own death. A very surreal experience. Obviously, I didn't, and I had a dear brother pastor who literally whipped me out of his sight, and I'm pretty sure that I'm alive today because of that.
So I just want to delve into this a little. Both of those aspects. One
sure.
is the sure. is the what you thought you'd be doing for your family, and the other what you were doing while you were planning this. And then how you were understanding God's grace at that point. You essentially thought that your family would be better off. You thought this was a gesture of concern for them?
It's a weird thing, but in many cases, people that struggle with suicide and consider, try, and do it are doing so in their own minds because they believe that it is what is going to be best for one else. That they are not doing this as a selfish act. And I'm not saying that this is rational. I'm simply saying that it's true. And so when I look at this, what I was thinking at the time was, I can't be a pastor. I'm not good at anything else. I'm not going to be able to take care of my family. I'm too ashamed to try and find some other line of work. This is a complete failure, and they would be better off without me. That was my thought process, and I can look at it now and see all of the reasons why that wasn't true. But in the middle of it, made an awful lot of sense. And that's very often the case when it comes to people at suicide are not looking at it from a selfish point of view, but wanting to do what they consider to be best. And that's a weird play, no question.
The other aspect of that is you mentioned you were actually preaching the death and resurrection of Jesus while contemplating and planning seriously your own suicide. How were you understanding or thinking about the grace of God, forgiveness, this mercy that is ours in Jesus Christ at that time of what had to be the darkest part of your life?
Well, this is the odd thing and the insidious thing about depression is depression makes it so that any good that you hear, you believe all that be good, but that's not for me. That's not true for me. And so this is very commonly what happens, particularly with pastors, since I know that part best, where they may be preaching the sweetest gospel message of Christ's reconciliation, while at the same time either thinking, well, this doesn't apply for me, or thinking that does apply for me, but that's not going to help me right now. And maybe that's a part of the tension that as Christians struggle with suicide are going looking at is how do I reconcile all of this? I'm going to, because Jesus died on the cross for me, reality with, but this pain and heartache and sorrow and despair and everything else is unbearable. I want to get there now, and I can't wait for God to take me. And those two things are very much in tension. And I wish there was a nice little answer that said, oh, well, say this, this, or this, then they're going to get it, and it's going to be okay. It worked that way when you're talking especially about mental illness. Really, when you're talking about anything, faith comes to hearing. This is always the work of the Holy Spirit through His Word. So the answer, if you will, is to deliver the goods, deliver that very personal, direct, for you character of the gospel. And that really, that is what finally got through to me, was that for you language.
Let's talk about that in a minute here. Pastor Todd Peppercorn is our guest. We're talking about suicide. It's Tuesday, August the 12th. He is pastor of Holy Cross Lutheran Church in Rockland, California. He has authored this book, and I strongly recommend this book. It is, it's not long. It doesn't take much time. And sometimes when people are struggling with things like depression, they don't feel like they have the time for it. But this book is perfect. It's called I Trust When Dark My Road, A Lutheran View of Depression, a very honest account of his own struggle with depression, even with thoughts of suicide as well. You can find out more about it at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Pastor Peppercorn, you said that what finally got through to you, obviously there was other help that was available to you in time as well, medication, other kinds of help, but what finally got through to you in terms of God's grace was that it really was for you. Expand on that.
Well, again, when you're talking about depression and mental illness, what very often goes through the mind is that these things, these words are all nice words, but they don't apply to you. They don't make sense to you. Well, the gospel is for you. That is the very character of the gospel. The Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and give his life as a ransom for many, etc. At a personal level, what really connected that for me was having my own pastor who would say those words of forgiveness and absolution to me specifically, knowing my own sin and darkness, and having many other people speak those same words. I mean, that's the gift of the gospel, is that this for you is always, it's always there. It's ever present. We forget, we get distracted, we get lost in ourselves and our troubles and so many other things and places, but that sweet gospel continues to apply and continues to be there. I guess that when I look at a suicide, and let's just sort of take it from the perspective of the family, what do you say to a family, to the survivors, if someone has committed suicide? Well, first of all, you don't try to make sense of it. You don't try to give reasons or explanations. You don't try to fix it after the fact. You just suffer with them and recognize it. But then secondly, we hold up that God's mercy is for all, and that includes the person who's died, and that it's not our job to try and read the heart of the deceased, but to seek God's mercy, because it is for you and for them.
Let's talk with Steve, who listens in St. Louis. Steve, thanks for being patient.
Oh, yeah. I had read his book. I had dealt with severe depression at times in my life, and got to the point of being suicidal. Actually made an attempt at one time, and that failed. And what I, you know, several hours later, I was called several people. I said, hey, this is where I'm at. And I asked them to just talk to each other. They didn't really know each other. But they were all good friends of mine. One was an ex-pastor, a retired pastor. But, you know, I gave it to them to help me think through things and went to the hospital, did a little bit of outpatient therapy. But one thing that really helped was I had one of these guys was retired, not the pastor, another guy. I could call him up and say, hey, I'm just doing bad. He would come over, sit on my couch, and sometimes he'd bring breakfast. I could call him at 8 o'clock in the morning. He'd bring something from McDonald's, and it gave me a little encouragement sometimes to get out of bed, at least wash my dishes and have somebody around. And I think, he wasn't trying to answer questions like the pastor there said, wasn't trying to explain things. He was just there for me. And that really brought me through a very dark time. And I think just wanted to share that personal experience, how the support of people that I knew and that were Christians, only one of those was a Lutheran, the pastor, but the other two were close friends and all were Christians and godly, and nobody tried to explain anything to me. They were there. And I just wanted to encourage people to just, one, to reach out if you are in that situation, but if somebody asks you for help, that's a simple thing, to do. Just be there for them and make a call. Don't wait for them to call you. Just, hey, just checking on you today. How are you doing? So that was something that helped me. Just wanted to share that.
Steve, thank you very much for your call and for sharing your experience there. With about a minute or so here before we take another break, Pastor Peppercorn, what are your thoughts on Steve's call?
Oh, I couldn't agree more that it really comes down to all of these people, and that God has given us all the vocation to love our neighbor, and that love doesn't mean having to sit in judgment every moment when something isn't quite right, but to be there, be present for them. I guess that I would add to not be afraid to share the hope of the gospel. Sometimes it takes a long, long time to get through. And for all of us, we hear that and need that again and again and again. That's not kind of a one-time shot. It is a continual feeding of the word of life to us. And when you're in that dark place of not being able to see outside of your own despair, somebody else is going to have to step in and come in and bring that gospel to you.
Pastor Todd Peppercorn is our guest. We'll have about another 10 minutes with him on the other side of the break talking about suicide. He's pastor of Holy Cross Lutheran Church in Rockland, California, and author of the book, I Trust When Dark My Road, A Lutheran View of Depression. Our call in number 1-877-623-6943, or send us an email, talkback@issuesetc.org.
The saints at Gethsemane Evangelical Lutheran Church in downtown Marion, Ohio, invite you to join us as we receive Christ's gifts of forgiveness, life, and salvation, which he won for us in his perfect life, death, and resurrection. Sunday school for all ages begins at 9:15 a.m. with a divine service following at 10:30. Visit our website, gethsemane-lcms.org, or find us on Facebook to learn more about our confessional, historical, and liturgical congregation.
The church's music from the 2nd century.
Shepherd of tender youth, guiding in love and truth.
The 6th century. The 12th century. The 16th century. The 21st century. The best of the church's music from the past 2,000 years. LutheranPublicRadio.org.
Do you wish your Lutheran school offered Latin, Greek, or logic? What about German or calculus? Right now, local Lutheran schools in two different states are utilizing Wittenberg Academy to expand their course offerings. Whether it's Latin for third graders or logic for seniors in high school, Wittenberg Academy can help. For your homeschooler or for your brick-and-mortar Lutheran school, we have solutions. To find out more, visit wittenbergacademy.org.
Expert guests, expansive topics, extolling Christ. You're listening to Issues Etc.
We know that you want to build your family on the right foundation from the very start, the foundation of Jesus Christ. Concordia Publishing House offers more than 8,000 products for churches, schools, and homes, dedicated customer service, and an experienced staff to help you focus on what matters most. Click to connect at cph.org. Concordia Publishing House, listening, responding, providing for God's people. Concordia Publishing House, cph.org.
No matter the size, big or small, RP Lumber can deliver it all. From pickups to one tons to box trucks and booms. Everywhere you look, you see blue. RP Blue. RP prides itself in customer service. RP will deliver quality products to your home, business, or job site. And you can be sure of timely delivery on clean trucks with courteous drivers. So when you think of service, think blue. RP Blue. With over 50 local community locations, for 37 years, RP Lumber.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're talking about suicide. Pastor Todd Peppercorn is our guest for another 10 minutes, and then Wesley Smith will join us to talk about the reality of death by dehydration. Kathy is listening in St. Charles, Missouri. Kathy, thanks for waiting on the line.
I really appreciate this topic. I think it's good to address it when things like this come up. And a lot of Christians do struggle with depression and thoughts of suicide, and I myself have struggled with that, based more on a circumstantial situation where we have a profoundly disabled son for multiple disabilities, some he was born with and some he acquired through some medical procedures that were not properly done, and just different things, also autism and severe. But the thing that we struggled with was isolation. People backed away from our situation because they were intimidated by it, and then just the fatigue of this long-term care situation for a profoundly disabled person and just needing help and not having it. And I then, you know, became suicidal. I thought of a way to take care of myself and even my profound disabled son, and it wasn't for, like you were saying, it was ultimately selfish, but it felt like I was doing it to help my family and solve the problem of no one being able to give us assistance or it seemed at the time. We did eventually get assistance through going to the courts and this type of thing, but it was just a difficult situation, and what made it so difficult for me was just the isolation and just the lack of understanding and people being intimidated, backing away. It was just really hard.
Kathy, thank you very much, and thanks for your story as well. Pastor Peppercorn, address her issue of isolation, and even sometimes when it's depression, it can be a self-perpetuating isolation.
Well, because depression, among other things, has to do with how your brain is processing external stimulation. A lot of times, people with depression isolate themselves, and they may know at some level that that's not going to be good for them, it's not going to be helpful for them, but they also know that too much of these external stimulation is not going to be good. So it can be a vicious cycle. What's more, from the outsider's perspective, from the people who are looking, it may be that the person or the family doesn't look like they want help. They may not want help. They may need help, but they may not want it. There's also a very real sense, again, this doesn't have to be rational, there's also a very real sense that a fear, even, that it's sort of contagious, that if I am kind of sucked into this world, then a lot of times, unfortunately, Kathy's situation is not that unusual, where you're going to have medical issues coupled with financial issues and personal tragedies, and add to that good old Satan constantly seeking to create doubt of God's mercy. I guess the question is, where can the body of Christ step in this place? Well, first off is the Eucharist, that this is the communion. This is where we are not isolated, but where God delivers himself and his gifts to us and to each other. I think that the church can be greatly served by having what I would call a Eucharistic understanding of our identity, that we are one in the body of Christ because Christ delivers himself to us, and that therefore my neighbor's burdens are mine. That's who we are. How concretely to step in these cases, that can be really tough. It may be as simple as prayer. It may be, hey, can I watch your kids for an hour? It may mean more drastic measures, and each person is going to be able to help in different ways. But starting with the church seeing itself as a place of mercy where the broken and the needy are welcomed and embraced, we get that and other things will fall in place. But it's a tough road, no doubt.
I wonder about, and this seems common, I don't know how common it is. There are people who have depression, suicidal thoughts, who are truly debilitated in that, and it's evident to everybody something's wrong here. But often, and I think again to the situation of Robin Williams and so many other of these kind of high-profile cases, where someone looking in from the outside, even maybe family members looking in to that person's life from the outside, don't see the person not getting out of bed. They don't see them sitting inactive. They don't see them isolating themselves. They see someone just kind of going about their everyday life. Maybe they know something is amiss, but they don't know the depth of the anguish that they're in. Talk about that situation, if you would.
Well, and obviously you're dealing with, in this case, with someone who's an unbelievably talented actor. So you can kind of add that to the fact that if they don't want others to know their own pain and suffering, it's very hard to kind of get in and recognize this. I guess the way that I try to look at those things is to simply recognize that everyone has burdens and sorrows that they carry. Some may be more extreme than others, but we are all under the curse of sin, and so we all carry these burdens. And what Christ does is give the comfort and consolation that only he can give to all. And so in meeting whomever it may be, to recognize that this is someone that needs to hear the comfort of Christ's mercy, whoever it is, because that's who Christ is. It is a great tragedy when a figure like that takes their own life, and it's easy for us to kind of sit back and say, well, they had everything together. Why would they possibly do this? It doesn't make sense. Well, there you go. It doesn't make sense. And it's not going to make sense, but we're not talking about sensible things.
So I want to come back to where we were in the beginning of our conversation, just to make it absolutely clear. You are not saying, and you speak as one, both from a pastoral perspective, but also having struggled with both depression and suicide in the past, you are not saying that suicide isn't a sin.
Of course suicide is a sin. Absolutely it's a sin. You shall not murder. It's not your life to take. No doubt about that. But what I would say is that it is only a sin. It is not a greater sin than any other sin. And what God does in Christ, is forgive our sins. That's true for this sin as well as it is for any other.
And your thoughts, I think we Lutherans often will reference Luther in kind of an unofficial way here, where, and he's a man also who struggles with, we probably would have him diagnosed with some kind of mental illness in the 21st
probably.
Century if he were living today. I sometimes wonder whether they'd certify him to be a pastor in the Missouri Senate if he were living today. But Luther speaks of suicide in a way that was completely out of step with the church, if the official church teaching of his day. When he says, look, I'm just not of the opinion that every suicide is automatically condemned to hell. And he likens many suicides to, his analogy is rather poignant and haunting. He says, it's someone who has been hounded by the devil, and he says of suicides, they are like a man who has been killed by a robber in the woods. He speaks these words kind of offhand, but he doesn't want to consign suicides to hell just because suicide itself is a sin.
Right.
What are your thoughts on Luther's sentiments there?
Well, and what he's getting at is the recognition that sin and death are always the domain of the devil. Those are his weapons. That's what he uses. And if he can seek to overcome someone at the end of their life, I mean, obviously the devil's desire is to drag everyone away from Christ and his mercy. And what Luther's point is that my life, and particularly the faith that God gave to me in my baptism, my life is not defined by the last instant of my life, whatever that might be, but rather is defined by Christ and the gospel. We can't know what's in a person's heart or mind when they die. We can only read their lips and their actions. And while this final action may be wrong, there are also so many other things that may play into it as well.
I mean, I've watched people die of quote unquote natural causes with curses on their lips. I mean, I'd have to say, golly, I think they were sinning when they died, but never occurred to me to conclude thereby that, I mean, even if I'm just sitting in a comatose state when I die, I'm still a sinner when I die. I'm as rotten a sinner as I was at the beginning when I die.
And you're still baptized, and you're still a child of God and an heir of all of his gifts. Those things don't change. I wonder sometimes if the reason why we get so wrapped in this is because of our view of the will, that if we equate faith with willpower, essentially, then if my willpower weakens when I die, then that must be a sign that I failed as a Christian. Well, that makes perfect sense if you believe that faith is a matter of willpower, which it is not. Faith is a gift.
Finally, with only about with only about 30 seconds here, Todd, what would you say to someone listening to us now who has struggled or is struggling with this? Where would you point us, as the hymn says, kind of point us through the gloom to the cross?
Well, I would first say you're not alone, that Christ our Lord has traveled the road. Psalm 23, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. That's number one. Number two is recognition that God is the one who will carry you and lift you up especially when you are unable to do this yourself, and that God will see you through in his mercy.
Pastor Todd Peppercorn is pastor of Holy Cross Lutheran Church in Rockland, California. He's author of the book, I Trust When Dark My Road, A Lutheran View of Depression. Now, you can download this book absolutely free. Just go to the Listen On Demand page at issuesetc.org and click I Trust When Dark My Road, A Lutheran View of Depression. Todd, thank you very much for being our guest.
Always a pleasure. Thanks for having me.
When we come back, we're going to spend the last 10 minutes of this hour talking about the reality of death by dehydration. Someone's written recently about how terrible it is to die in such a way, but why does that apparently not apply among so many who want to see the severely disabled die that way? We'll get Wesley Smith's thoughts after this.
One of the most surprising discoveries I have found in church history that Christians usually did not realize or recognize the effects their actions had when they heeded Christ's words, "Let your light so shine before men that they might see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven."
Dr. Alvin Schmidt speaking at this year's Issues, Etc. Making the Case Conference.
Their actions were byproducts of God's redeeming love that was theirs in the crucified and risen life of Jesus Christ. In time, many Christian values and practices became integrated parts of Western culture. And the Christian didn't really quite realize it, as we don't to this day.
You can listen to Dr. Schmidt's presentation, Making the Case for Christianity's Positive Impact on Civilization, on our new audio DVD from the Making the Case Conference. We'll send it to you for a donation of $300. For more information, look for the DVD logo at issuesetc.org.
Defending life from beginning to end. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Bethany Lutheran College is pleased to sponsor Issues, Etc. and Lutheran Public Radio. Bethany Lutheran College is located in the picturesque river town of Mankato, Minnesota, and is committed to making Christian higher education affordable for all with generous financial aid packages available. At Bethany, you'll find stimulating academic programs, a friendly atmosphere, and opportunities to grow both in intellect and in your faith, all within the framework of a supportive Christian environment. For more information, visit us on the web at blc.edu.
Did you know that we send out an email each week that details upcoming show topics? It's available for you to include in your weekly church bulletin. Just click the Issues, Etc. journal logo at our homepage, issuesetc.org, and sign up to receive the church bulletin blurb. It's an easy way to invite your fellow parishioners to listen to Issues, Etc. issuesetc.org. Look for the Issues, Etc. journal logo and register to receive a weekly bulletin paragraph from Issues, Etc.